I welcome you here today, and ready to dig in and have some fun, because it's always fun to get into the Word. Amen? Amen. Okay, that was a little bit better. Luke chapter 1 is where our text is this morning, and so I hope you all had a great week. We had a busy week here. We met twice a day, every day, through Monday through this morning so far, and we've had prayer here at the church. And if you've been able to gather here at any of those times, during any of those times, thank you for coming out. And if you've been praying from home, we appreciate that. If you haven't been praying, then we probably just need to talk afterwards, because we know how important that is. So this morning, I'd like to tell you a story of a man who got more than he ever hoped for. You know, what would you do if you ever got more than you ever hoped or asked for? What would you do? Hi, Amber. We'll just cut that out of this. What would you do if you got more than you ever asked or hoped for? I mean, what would you do? Or would that even be possible? Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. You know, most people would say that the story of Christmas begins with the announcement of the birth of a baby. And, you know, they would be absolutely right with that assessment. But when they tried to name that baby, they would say, oh yeah, his name is Jesus. But they would be wrong. Ready for the explanation? The Gospel of Mark begins the story this way. It says, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing." That's Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Okay, so the story of Christmas and the story of Jesus begins with the story of John. John was the forerunner. John was the one who came to prepare the way for the Messiah. And his story begins in Luke chapter 1. And the story of John doesn't actually begin with John. You go, man, you're really confusing me today, John. There's a lot of Johns in here. It begins with his father, whose name was Zechariah. You know, humans' lives are really interwoven. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, my goodness. And now listen to this. In the days of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. How many would agree with that? We'd probably be terrified if we saw one of these angels. But the angel of the Lord says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer." Have you ever thought about there was beer in the, you know, must be referring to, this translation must be referring to some sort of alcoholic drink, okay? No, wine or beer. That's for another sermon. "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Verse 18, how can I know this? Zechariah asked the angel, for I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he had stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was making signs to them and remained speechless. When the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, the Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people. That is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. So here we have Zechariah. This really is the beginning. This is really the story of the beginning of Christmas. Many years ago, a man named Zechariah was given a great privilege. All of his life, he had prayed for this privilege. See, Zechariah was a priest, as we read just a moment ago, after the order of Abijah. And twice a year, the sons of Abijah served for 7 days in the temple. They were in charge of the morning and evening sacrifices. So there were 14 opportunities for someone to light the incense, and which was on the sacred altar in the holy place of the temple. Now, the holy place was the second most sacred space on earth. The altar of incense was located just a few feet from the Holy of Holies, which was the most sacred space in the world. Now, God himself dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And every morning, they said they cast lots, or a lot was drawn. And after every afternoon, another lot was drawn. And each time, the winner got to enter the holy place and light the incense on the altar. Now, the privilege was so special that no priest was allowed to win this lottery twice. Only once in your life would you get to the chance to enter the holy place, only once. In Numbers chapter 4, verse 3, Moses ordered that the priest, only the priest between the ages of 30 and 50, could make this sacrifice. And so by the time that this story gets written, Zechariah was near 50 years old, at the top of the range of priests between 30 and 50, and he was well along in years, is what the Bible says. So how old do you think he was? Well, we don't know for sure. But his opportunity to enter the holy place was passing. It was getting near to the end. And year after year, Zechariah watched his brothers and his cousins win that lottery and get to go in and light the incense. And one by one, they won. So by this time, more eligible priests were many years his junior. Most of the eligible priests were. And most of his peers had already been able to light the incense and enter into the holy place. Zechariah had never won, and his opportunity was almost done. You know, I think he probably thought of himself as a loser. You know, maybe he felt like one. I don't know. It's not clear from the passage, but you know, he had only wanted this one thing for himself. He had only prayed about this one thing since his teenage years, the beginning of his priestly training. He had wanted to be able to fulfill his purpose by honoring God with the incense, by entering the holy place and touching the table of showbread, which held the loaves that reminded everyone that God is the bread of life. And then the golden lampstand that showed that God was the light of the world. By lighting the incense, Zechariah would be symbolically releasing the prayers of the people to wait to waft heavenward with its smoke. 2 weeks a year, twice a day, 14 times every year, Zechariah had a chance to win the lottery, and 14 times a year, he was disappointed. But then Zechariah had one other great hope. Every day he got up and he prayed that the Lord would give him a son. And that never happened either. That opportunity seemingly was gone. By all natural appearances, nobody had a child at 50 years old. At least nobody whose wife was well along in years, as it says in the scripture there, like Elizabeth was. Two great hopes, two great disappointments. Now, whether this was Zechariah's last opportunity, or if he maybe had one or two left, we don't know for sure. We just know that, like so many people, Zechariah was living a life of quiet disappointment. You know, the things he wanted weren't coming. The dreams he had had for so many years, these dreams were beginning to die. But then came this day. Have you ever just had one of those this days? A day when your greatest prayers are answered, a day when your deepest dreams come true. This was Zechariah's day. His lot was chosen. His moment came. He got to enter the temple. Zechariah, the priest of the order of Abijah, got to enter the holy place and stand before the altar of incense, 2 feet from the Holy of Holies, from the Shekinah glory of God Almighty. You know, I wonder if his feet were extra cautious that day, you know. Did he make sure that he didn't trip over any of the paving stones or catch his, on his robe, you know, and trip over his robe? You know, I'd have probably had it hiked up a little bit just to make sure I didn't do that, you know. Or did he cradle the candle like a baby, making sure that the flame didn't go out? You weren't there. I wasn't there. Nobody knows for sure except God and Zechariah. But I'll bet this, okay? I have a great imagination, and those of you that know me know that I have a great imagination. I bet if we had been there, we would have seen the most ridiculous smile on Zechariah's face. His day had happened. He was in the presence of God. We didn't see his face. We also didn't see the angel. Because on this day, God not only made Zechariah's dream come true, he exceeded it. Instead of just lighting the incense and saying the prayer, God sent him a visitation. Gabriel, the great archangel who stands in the presence of the Lord. You know the verse in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 3:20. I mentioned it earlier. It says that God is able to do all that we ask or imagine. Do you believe that? Zechariah believed that. And many times he imagined himself in the holy place, but he never imagined meeting an angel there. Actually, Ephesians 3:20 doesn't just say that God is able to do all that we ask or imagine. It says that he is able to do above all that we ask or imagine. And that's what God did that day. And we know this because God loved Zechariah and showed him the full extent of his love. Zechariah wanted the altar, but he also got the angel. He wanted the altar, but he also got the angel. And actually, Ephesians 3:20 doesn't just say that God is able to do above all that we ask or imagine. It says he's able to do abundantly all that we ask or imagine. Zechariah got the abundant part that day. He got more. Because if you want to know the full version, I read it earlier. It says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Now that's incredible. Exceedingly abundantly above. You can't get any higher than that. You can't get any more than that. So along with the altar and with the angel, Zechariah got the annunciation. Now do you know what an annunciation is? It's just a fancy word for announcement. That's all it is. Zechariah, Gabriel said, your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. It was like the infomercial, you know, on TV. But more. Wait, there's more, you know. God didn't just say, your wife will bear you a son. He said this, your wife will bear you a son named John. got specific there, who will be great in the eye, in the sight of the Lord, will be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, and will go before the Messiah in the spirit and power of Elijah, who was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Now that's an announcement. You know, in the Old South, you know, we lived in the Mid-South for 15 years. And they have an expression, no, it's not bless your heart. Well, they do have that one. Well, bless your heart. It's not that one. They have an expression that when somebody says something that astonishes them, they say, well, shut my mouth. Zechariah should have said that. Well, actually, Zechariah should have just shut his mouth. Because when he opened it, he expressed doubt about that miracle. Because, after all, it was exceedingly, abundantly above all that he could ask or imagine. And don't we all just kind of doubt that we'll ever get exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or imagine? Don't we tend to doubt that? The angel shut his mouth for 9 months. Now, how he got his mouth back and his voice back is a story for another sermon. And so if you want to hear it, come back in a few weeks from now, and I'll let you have it. By the way, we're in a series called Forerunner that's going to run about 5 weeks, and we're in week two, so we've got 3 more weeks after this one, okay? Okay, the point. The story that begins the story of Jesus is the story of an old man and an old woman who basically thought they were losers. They thought that they were beyond hope, beyond prayers. It's the story of two people who loved God. And then all of a sudden, they had all of their dreams come true at a stage in their lives when they could not take credit, but only give credit to God for his great gift. This story teaches so many great things about God, and so many great things about the people who worship him. And the distinguishing mark of Zechariah and Elizabeth, according to Luke 1:6, it says, but both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. Zechariah and Elizabeth were wholeheartedly devoted. So at the perfect time, God showed himself strong to them. Now, didn't he? At the perfect time. Every story in the Bible teaches us something about God and something about ourselves. This story of the forerunner teaches at least 6 different lessons that encourage us. So are you ready? If you didn't get a worksheet, we do have worksheets on the back table there that you can fill in. If you don't have one, you want one, just put your hand up and we'll get one to you. Okay, all right. Number one, you ready for this? This is really deep. God has plans for the world. Okay, how do I know that? Okay. Well, I'm glad you asked. 400 years before the announcement, God spoke to a prophet named Malachi. And he said this in Malachi chapter 3. He says, see, I am going to send my messenger so he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you delight in. See, he is coming, says the Lord of armies. You see, God isn't just a spur-of-the-moment type of God. He has thought about what's best for this world and what's best for you and what's best for me. And he has woven his plans into the fabric of future history. Now, the second thing that this story teaches me is that every person has a purpose. Every person in this room today, every person in this world has a purpose. And before John was even conceived, God called out his purpose. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, the last part of verse 17. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord's prepared people. So John's purpose was to make people ready for the Lord. That's what his purpose was. You want to know something? That's your purpose too, to make people ready for the Lord. The passage not only teaches that every person has a purpose, it demonstrates that parents are given a purpose in raising their children. So number three is God prepares parents to fulfill his purposes. Now, do you think it was coincidence that it took so long for Zechariah and Elizabeth to conceive? God was preparing them for this very special baby, like he prepares all present parents for their special children. John was Jesus' older cousin. His job was to prepare the way for Jesus. But, you know, he couldn't prepare the way too soon because the excitement might wear off. So John had to be born at just the right time, just a few months before Jesus. And then the world had to be ready before Jesus was born. So God waited. And that meant that Zechariah and Elizabeth waited. And while they waited, they matured. See, John was announced and born at just the right time for him, for his parents to raise him to be the most important prophet in biblical history. Number four, God makes promises. God makes promises. Listen to this. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says, "Look, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." These are the very last words of the Old Testament. And then God goes silent for 400 years. Does he forget his promise during the silence? He does not. The angel's announcement to Zechariah uses the very same words 400 years later. The very same words. So God makes promises, and then even more encouraging than that, God keeps promises. He makes promises, he keeps promises. What does the angel say about the forerunner? What does the angel say about John the Baptist? Luke chapter 1, 16 and 17. "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to the children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." See, this book, the Bible, whether you have it on your phone, iPad, or you actually have a leather-bound Bible, this book is filled with promises from God to you and to me. It's filled with promises. He has kept them. He will keep them, every single one of them. All God's promises are true. All God's promises are yes and amen. And the sixth thing that this passage teaches us is that God answers prayer. Luke 1:13, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard." So how long do you suppose Zechariah had been praying for a son? More than likely, yes. So how does this all apply? Here's how this applies right here. You can write this down because it's not in your notes. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your dreams. You want to know something? If they're good dreams, they're God dreams. If they're good dreams, they're God dreams. And God will either answer them or he will exceed them. Ooh, that's right there in the word, folks. He will either answer them or exceed them. Because my God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. He answered them in a way that he never could have imagined. This is the story of a man whose prayers are answered exceedingly abundantly above all that he asked or imagined. So what would you do if that happened to you? See, God is so good that it's not all that unusual for that to happen. Paul got more than he asked or imagined. He wanted to be a scholar. He ended up writing more books in the New Testament than any other, which makes him the greatest selling author of all times. Moses got more than he imagined. He wanted to set his people free from slavery. He not only freed them, but he led them to their own land and property. And he established their law and their culture for all time. That's exceedingly abundantly beyond all that Moses ever asked or imagined. Abraham got more than he imagined. He wanted a son. He wound up becoming the father of a nation. Ruth got more than she imagined. She also wanted a son. She wound up becoming the great, 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 great grandmother of the Messiah. You can have more than you've imagined. You just need to step into it. Do you want a good life? You can get God. He wants to be with you, you know? And he wants to make your life better than you could ever imagine it being. Because Jesus calls this kind of life the abundant life. You know, and then when people like us get more than we expected in life, we raise our expectations. And folks, you need to raise your level of expectations with the Lord. Begin believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you could ask or imagine. So how many of you remember the moment when you invited Jesus to come into your life to forgive your sins and to be your Lord and Savior? How many remember that moment? If you've done that, your life has become more than you could have ever asked or imagined. What would your life be like right now if you didn't have Jesus leading it? I was talking with Mary before the service, and she was telling me a little bit about her life. You know, none of us would be in a place like this. I shudder to think where I'd be without Jesus. You know, and it's easy for us to forget the kind of people that we were or that we would have been had we not received Jesus. You know, and it's the nature of humans to want more than we already have and to take for granted what we've had for a while. Which is why it's good to thank God every single morning for your salvation. Don't take it for granted. Don't take his guidance for granted. Don't take his love for granted. Don't take his forgiveness for granted. Don't take heaven for granted. A good practice would be to start thanking God every morning for your salvation. So we're gonna have a little drill this morning, and I want you to repeat after me, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a spiritual gift to serve you with. Thank you for creating a home for me in heaven. Thank you for sending me your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can ask him for more, but don't forget that if you have received eternal salvation, don't forget that you have received exceedingly abundantly more than you ever could have asked or imagined. When Zechariah got more than he imagined, you know what he did? He thought about it every day for the next 9 months. He couldn't verbalize it. He had to think about it. God gave him the gift of silence for the next 9 months. You know why? So that he could think about God's great gift to him. He also obeyed God and did exactly what he was told, and he named his son John. We'll also see that he taught the boy scripture, to memorize scripture, and he taught him his God-given purpose, and he taught him to love the Lord, and he taught him to be humble. By the way, those are great things to teach your children. One final lesson that we can learn from Zechariah is that any day can become your best day. Any day can become your best day. You just never know what God has in store for you. So expect great things from God. And don't just expect them. Attempt great things for God. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your passage of scripture here, Lord God, that encourages us. Father, the scripture that we focused on a lot today of you being able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Father God, I just pray that there's someone here today that needs to know that and needs to come to that realization in their life that you are a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Father, help us to appropriate that today. Help us to receive that promise as our own, and help us to begin to believing you for bigger things and stepping out for you in bigger things, in bigger ways. God, my prayer is that you would guide us and direct us and lead us in all we do. May we never, ever take our eyes off of you. May we realize that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. At the name of Jesus, cancer is healed. At the name of Jesus, diseases fall off. At the name of Jesus, mountains crumble. So Lord, help us to realize that when we walk in you and through you, we walk with the ability to see things happen for you. Not so that we would be glorified or even noticed, but Lord, so that you would be glorified. We thank you and we praise you. Would you stand with me, please?